Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, almost a fortnight after its publication, survivors are still trawling through Judge Yvonne Murphy's report into the mother and baby homes. Even after years of revelations, the stories and the numbers still shock. Nearly 9,000 babies died in the homes examined, and it's estimated that the proportion of unmarried women sent to such homes was probably the highest in the world. Well, my first guest this morning, Avril Power, is the chief executive of the Irish Cancer Society, and she was previously a high-profile senator. Avril was born to an unmarried mother in 1978, and she was adopted from Temple Hill, a baby hospital in South Dublin. She was reunited with her natural mother in 2007 and with her natural father more recently. But like many of the survivors and children of the homes, she's found the past fortnight challenging as the airwaves filled with stories of women whose babies died, suffered maltreatment, or were forcibly separated from them. Avril Power, good morning to you.
Morning, Miriam.
Listen, I know you're on maternity leave yourself at the moment because last summer you became a mum yourself for the first time. Big congratulations. How is your beautiful little Noah?
She's amazing. She's really great. She's at that wonderful stage now where she thinks that everything is hilarious, especially her dad and I. So we're having great fun making her laugh and practicing her roles and taking her for walks and cycles. So we've had a busy lockdown. We certainly haven't been bored for the last few months.
Oh, enjoy it, Avril. Now look, and just being a parent, do you think it gives you a new perspective, including on the stories and issues that have been raised since the report's publication?
It definitely does. I suppose it makes you more aware, I think, particularly of the importance of that, of the early bond between a baby and its mum. When I brought her home from the hospital, she was this tiny little thing. She wasn't even 6 pounds. And just how dependent she is on you and the love that you have for her and that closeness. And I suppose I read a lot when I was pregnant with Noah, I read a lot of books about baby development. And it kind of made a lot of sense for me about some of the things that I've gone through over my life and how adoption has affected me. And it gave me an understanding that I wouldn't have had before. You know, a baby's first relationship is with its mother before they're even born. They get used to your heartbeat and your voice. And after birth, they find it comforting when they're upset. When you hold her on her chest and she relaxes because she can hear your heartbeat again. Mm-hmm. And when they're frightened, you know, like the whole world is this big frightening new experience. And they look to you for reassurance, and being there for them helps them to kind of relax and trust you and get used to this new world. And I think it's very traumatic for a baby, no matter what environment, like even if you have a really loving adoptive family, being separated from your parents at that young age is really traumatic. And I know that certainly that has affected me, and it's affected my relationships in a way that I probably only really understand better now that I have a baby and I understand it a bit more.
Can you describe, Avril, the emotions, the feelings that the report stirred up for you?
It's been really upset, I think, for anybody affected, you know, not like by the mother and baby homes, but then also by the broader issue of closed adoption in Ireland and forced separation from parents and, you know, particularly those who still haven't been able to find their parents or their identity. It's just been so many emotions. Like, there's upset, there's reading stories about what mums went through, what babies went through. There's reading some of the absolute horrors. And, you know, you said 9,000 babies died, like 9,000 tiny little babies died just because of the circumstances that their mums found them in, just because they weren't married and they ended up in those homes. And then for someone like me, like as you said, I wasn't in one of the mother and baby homes. I was in a baby hospital. My mum didn't stay there. I was there on my own, and she was able to visit for short visits until I was adopted. So like, I didn't know the horrors of Bessborough or some of the worst homes. So it's funny, you've kind of these mixed emotions of, I definitely know that adoption has affected me and that there's a lot of pain still there for me, particularly about how long it took me for me to find my parents. But then at the same time, I know that I'm one of the lucky ones, so you almost feel kind of bad for, you know, for feeling bad about it, because I'm fortunate that I didn't have to stay they're unfortunate that my mom didn't have to stay there. I'm fortunate that I was adopted by a family who did their best for me. There's just, I think for all of us, there's just so much emotion. And that's why it's hard when, you know, Miriam, when people talk about, you know, the apologies and that, and they talked a lot about the past and what Ireland was like years ago. But for so many of us, it's not just the past, it's our present. It's affected our whole lives. It's affected our relationships. It's affected our experiences. There are people who still don't know, women who still don't know where their sons or daughters are. Adopted people who still have no idea what their original identity is. So this is very much our present. It's not the past for us. This is our living reality.
And on Taoiseach, he offered, you know, a sincere apology on behalf of the state. But listening to you, Avril, I sense that while you think apologies and memorials are important, you believe that real, tangible responses to help survivors are even more important.
Much more important, Miriam. Like for me, it was positive to have Taoiseach make an apology in the Dáil, but it really won't mean anything unless we finally move forward on giving adopted people and their parents our basic human rights and the supports that people need. So like there's thousands, I've been fortunate, as you said, to find my mum and dad. It wasn't easy particularly to find my dad. But there are thousands of adopted people who still don't know their original names. They don't know anything about the circumstances of their birth. They don't have their medical history. They don't know if there's serious genetic illnesses like cancer or other inherited illnesses in their family that they should be aware of for themselves or their kids. So there's this huge part of them that's missing. And like we've had a lot of talk over the years of addressing that. I brought forward a bill when I was in the Seanad in 2014 that we got through the Seanad with unanimous support to give adopted people a right to our birth certs and to exchange contact information where both parties were happy to do so. I mean, that's what, 7 years ago nearly at this stage, and it still hasn't been done. So I heard a lot of other people who were mums and adopted people as well over the last 2 weeks saying the same, that really unless that moves forward, the apology just doesn't really mean anything.
What would you say, Avril, to people, you know, who claim that allowing this access, say, to adoptees like yourself, it risks undermining the privacy of mothers who may wish to remain anonymous?
See, I think you have to distinguish between information and contact. So my original birth cert, when I eventually met my mum and I got my original birth cert, it has her name on it, but it doesn't. It didn't have her current contact details, and none of her birth certs would. It would have your name, your mum's name, usually not your dad because they weren't married, and where they lived at the time, which was a long time ago. And then contact details is a separate thing, and the bill that we put through the Seanad gave people the option of exchanging details if they wished, and if they didn't wish, a mechanism, a sensitive and supportive mechanism through which that could be conveyed. And, you know, I think this myth is often put out, Miriam, and it's just offensive that women willingly gave up their babies. I mean, we can see so much from the last 2 weeks that that's just not true. And there's this notion that they walked away from the children years ago, haven't thought about it since and want to be left alone. And how many mothers do we have to hear say that that's just not the case? Of course, there's like, well, some people may want contact, others don't. But what we need is a mechanism for dealing with that, helping people to exchange their wishes through a supportive third party. I mean, I really saw the difference between finding my mum and my dad. So I met my mum through the adoption contact register. So we both had voluntarily signed up for that, and I found her through that. And we both separately met with a counsellor in Barnados before we met each other to talk through all the different emotions and feelings and get the support that we needed. And then when I found my dad, it took me years, like it took me another 10 years to find my dad because he wasn't on the register, and I had to do a private search the way to go through birth certs and marriage certs and phone books and awkward calls to people who my mom thought might have known him at the time and might know where he was and all of that. And then to end up at this point where you don't know if this person wants to hear from you. And I hated that I had to reach out, that I'd not, nobody to do that for me, that I had to get a friend to call him. And I was so nervous. I was thinking, oh my God, like I don't know if he wants to get this call or not. And you know, thankfully he did. And he literally, my friend rang me back and said, he's wondering what you're doing tonight. And I was like, what? the whole script was tell him that, like, I know this is a shock. He takes some time to think about it. give him my number. He can call me like next month, next year, whatever. And I ended up meeting him that night. But I think it's very stressful for everybody that we don't have a proper resource system to do that. TUSLA is there, but it's massively under-resourced. It has to deal with all the children at risk and difficult, vulnerable children situations. It doesn't have the resources to help us and to do a proper search. So actually, I think that makes unwanted contact more likely, because the only way you can find out if somebody wants to hear from you is to actually do a search and find them yourself, whereas it'd be much better if you had a proper resourced agency that would contact each party and ask if they wish to meet or not. And if they don't, then you've a sensitive way of conveying that. And people will respect that. You know, this notion that adopted people are irrational and insensitive and don't care about our parents' feelings, again, it's just not true. Like, my experience couldn't be more different from that, from all the different people that I've met. And I know some people who've been disappointed not to have relationships, but they accept that.
And I know that you have retained and still have a great relationship with your birth mother. And your dad actually went to your graduation from the King's Inn. But tragically, you know, he was diagnosed with cancer and he died in May, didn't he, Avril?
He did, yeah.
I'm so sorry about that.
So, yeah, it's it took me so long to find him. And then, thankfully, reunion went well and I got to know him. And I have two half-brothers and my dad's siblings and his wife, and we had a good relationship when we were really only getting to know each other. He bought an electric bike so he could come cycling with me. And literally a month later, he was diagnosed with a really bad cancer. He passed away then last May. So, you know, it's hard to, I suppose you just think of all the years that we wasted, you know, the time that I could have had with him. At the time, I could have had more time with my mom. Like, I went looking for my mom when I was 18. It was another 10 years before I found her. And she's really angry about that nobody contacted her. She was still in the same address as when I was adopted. Nobody contacted her. So it's just all that lost time. Like, my dad really wanted to be here for Noah's birth. He really hoped that he'd make it to meet her, and he didn't.
I'm really sorry, Avril.
And as I say, you know, Miriam, I'm one of the lucky ones. So that's why I would just really urge government that, you know, the apology is important, but this really affects our lives on so many different levels. This is people's rights to their identity, to their family. There's just so much that has been lost already. Let's not lose more by delaying even further. Let's move on. Finally give adoptive people in Ireland the rights that people have had in the UK since the 70s. It's all gone fine everywhere else. It hasn't resulted in the kind of, you know, these bizarre things that are put out about parents being contacted, hounded against their wishes. That hasn't happened anywhere else. If you put in place a proper supportive system, it won't happen here. So let's just do it and help people move beyond apologies and actually help.
Final question to Avril. I'm conscious as well, like, as you say, you were lucky, you were brought up in a lovely adopted home. There's probably listening to you, people listening to you and me this morning, Avril, who have adopted children or people who are adopted, and they've had very happy experience, albeit, you know, the trauma early on. Are you conscious of that as well, Avril?
Yeah, of course you are. And it's point, like, I think in some respects, you always feel like you feel there's a lot of guilt there. You feel bad when you're talking about how negatively adoption has affected you, because, you know, I have adopted parents who did their best for us, you know. So it's not, you feel like, are you being disloyal? Will they be upset? But like, this is a huge part of who we are. And I think nowadays when kids are adopted, there's more emphasis on understanding the fact that even if you have a happy family, that separation at birth, that loss of bonding with your natural parents, that has an impact, and that you acknowledge that. And now I think adoption is so much more open, and parents are encouraged to talk to their kids about the fact that they're adopted and always be open about it and talk to them about their cultural history if it's different, if it's not Irish. Things have changed a lot. I think a lot of the hurt from my generation comes from the secrecy of it all, the fact that, you know, our parents, in trying to do the best for us, you know, didn't always tell kids they were adopted, didn't talk about it much because there was that stigma. I think it's just time to unpack all that.
Avril, I've loved talking to you, and congrats on your beautiful Noah, and enjoy yourselves.
Thank you. Thanks, Miriam.
Mind yourself.